Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome everybody to episode number 14 of the Abundant Life Podcast.
Goodness.
Sasso, it's been a minute or two.
I don't even know what to do anymore. Are we doing this right?
It's been a while since we've been in the lab, in the studio.
Yeah, what happened? I don't know. We got busy, I guess, right?
Yeah. I think we've just been busy.
Yeah, school was difficult this last class, so it was harder for me to find time to, it takes time to write for the podcast, and so.
Well, you write for your blog every day.
Yeah, too, yeah. And that takes time.
Homework.
Yeah. Homework, work, kids,
wife.
Then son's game, and then tacos, right?
Tacos. How's the diet going, by the way?
Not good, Ben. Not good. Let's not talk about that. I don't know. That's a bad word on this. You have to bleep it out. Well, today, we should ask each other, how was our diet? We went to lunch today, and they said the cauliflower chicken wings. Like, what is that?
He said it was good. It honestly did not sound.
I should have asked him how many has he had. And that would have really said how good they are.
It just didn't sound appetizing to me.
Because I think he was saying that people bought them, but doesn't mean that. Like a vegetarian, of course, if you put buffalo sauce and butter and deep fry it, it's good. But if you deep fry butter and a chicken wing, then it's real good.
Well, it's like the mushroom hamburger thing.
Is there such a thing?
There's such a thing as a mushroom hamburger thing. I'm sorry.
It's mushroom. A patty? Is mushroom?
Yeah, it's a big mushroom. As a patty.
Wow. It's a mushroom burger that identifies with a hamburger as a hamburger patty.
Let me tell you, brother.
Can I say that?
It does not replace it. It does not replace it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. Where do they serve that as? Like the foo-foo place or something?
Yeah, it's the vegan places and vegetarian places. Honestly, man, I'm a hamburger guy. I love hamburger. Beef. It's got to be beef. I've had turkey burgers. I've even had those vegetarian style burgers. You seen that where they mix a bunch of stuff like beans and stuff and they make a patty?
I've seen it, but I've not tried it.
I mean, they try to make it taste good and it's okay, I guess, if you're on a diet.
What were the reasons why you did that?
I was on a diet.
I know, but like, was your cholesterol level high and your doctor said veggie?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I've had high cholesterol, that kind of thing. But
I can't tell you it's a HIPAA. Sorry, I'm violating HIPAA right now. I apologize, Ben.
No, I mean, yeah. I mean, it was for the diet. Trying to cut back on beef. No, I was just trying to cut back on beef.
Okay.
No, it was not Carl's Jr. It was frozen little patties at the store. You just buy them, you heat them up.
Yeah, I did that for a couple of times, but I didn't have like a substitute. I just had turkey or chicken.
Yeah.
I didn't have like veggie burger.
The turkey burger's not too bad, but nothing replaces beef, man. I'm sorry. It just does not replace beef.
Well, I have a friend that lives in Oregon that I think eats, well, that's kind of her name, vegetarian. So vegetarian 365 eats like that.
That's
so,
the handle? Her Twitter, yeah. Twitter
she,
handle?
She may not like that I'm saying that, but yeah, if you go follow her, you'll see she does some interesting recipes for vegetable. Like Rebecca's grandparents were vegetarians. So, and her grandpa was a doctor. So I know it's
good for you.
It's good for you. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
But does it taste good is a different story.
It's hard. It's a hard line to walk.
What did pastor say, right? If it tastes good, it's not good for you.
Probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, here's the thing. I was doing well on my diet and then spring break hit. And spring break, we went north to Flagstaff. And so, that means usually you're going to eat out. And when you eat out, there's not a lot of healthy options when you go to, a restaurant, Italian restaurant, I mean, you can get the salad.
Yeah.
But I
mean, who wants that?
Yeah. Come on, man. There's pizza.
Yeah. It's cheese, but not the right cheese. Yeah. Not melted.
So it was hard. I mean, so we just got off spring break and I'm still kind of on it, I guess, because we went out again today.
Yeah, we did. I enjoyed that. So I'm trying to do at least one, if I do one bad meal, at least one good meal. Like yesterday I had a good salad and then Nate and I went to Marley's for dinner after the Suns game.
Oh, nice.
And then the lady's like, I go, what do you recommend? And the first thing she said was Asian salad. And I go, okay, continue. What else?
Next.
Yeah, I'm done with that. And I should have got that. But anyways, I did not. So it's been difficult.
But see, that's been my philosophy. Just if I can eat clean or healthy, at least, you know, 90% of the time. If I cheat the other 10% of the time, I don't really care. And that's kind of what I was doing before spring break, but then spring break hit and it was kind of the opposite. I was kind of eating bad 90% of the time and healthy 10% of the time.
Yeah. The only thing I ate healthy on spring break was I drank water. That's it.
Well, I had salad at the Italian place, but I also had pizza.
Yeah. Salad and pizza.
Yeah. Well, and the only reason I had salad, so get this. Honestly was not going to have the salad. But as we were sitting there going to order, Diane, you know, she decides she wants a salad. So she orders, she points to the thing on the menu and tells the waitress, I want this salad. And the waitress says, that's all you're going to get to eat though, right? And insinuating that that's a big salad. And Diane's like, well, no, I'm going to have pizza. And the waitress she just kind of shut up at that point. Well, yeah, they brought the salad and it was a huge salad. And she got a pizza. So I had to help her with the salad, which I wasn't intending to do in the first place because I knew I wanted pizza. I knew exactly what I wanted. I didn't want no salad. No.
You didn't get the Miss Piggy?
No. I didn't want no health. No, I got the, what was it?
Margarita?
Fennel sausage pizza.
Okay, that's good.
That was good. I did like it.
So the salad was enough for all of you or just for you and
Dan? It probably was because, you know, we were there with Travis and Cheryl, and we probably could have shared all four of us, but I think they had some other appetizers. And we were trying to put down that salad. Diana almost actually put the whole thing all down by herself. I had a little piece of salad, I didn't want to get full. I didn't want to get full on the salad, man. I'm just like, man, I want my pizza.
I can understand that for sure. So. I don't think I ordered a salad at all. I don't know. We just ate two meals because we get up late.
Yeah.
But like Nate and I ate late one time and then we had ramen. I don't think ramen's... I mean, it's fancy ramen. It's not the...
Manchurian
beef broth flavor. It was good. Not healthy.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. But we did walk a lot. So yeah, I don't know if that equates to... I don't know.
Well, I mean, you burn calories just sitting, right? I mean...
Yeah, especially the more you eat, the more you weigh, the more you burn.
That's funny.
But it's backward. Yeah, I don't think that's supposed to work that way. But anyway, yeah good time. Good to be back in the studio here.
Yep.
I don't even know what we call these Ben Studios. I don't know.
I don't know.
We need a sponsor.
It's the Taco Twin Studio.
Taco Twin Studio. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gail, for that. And Jason.
Yes. Well, today we have an amazing topic. I'm super excited to cover this topic. Been in the Word this past week studying up on this particular topic. And today we're gonna be talking about God's abounding grace. Sasso, I know you had the idea for this particular topic. You want to share just briefly why we kind of chose this topic, and then we'll jump into the 1828 Webster Dictionary for the definition for grace.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was we had an evangelist, his name was Willie.
Yep.
That came and talked to us about counseling. I think the last podcast that we recorded was the night, Monday night, after his message.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last time we recorded. And then he published that podcast or brought whatever, that podcast. But he talked about grace.
Yeah.
And really struck me about that, that got me to think about this, is that he said, you know, Romans 5:20-21, which we'll get into. And being a Christian for a long time, I know what grace is. I know about grace, but just God really spoke to me that night and just said, because I always make excuses for sin in my life. And he said, it's awesome, but my grace is much more than the sin. And that really struck with me. And that 2 weeks I was tempted, it's like God brought those verses like, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. Yeah. My grace is sufficient for you to obey me. I've given you the power. You just got to do it.
Right.
And then there's been some other things that have happened that I'll get into the podcast. But yeah, just that message really stuck with me, grace. And we've kind of been chopping it up about doing this podcast for a couple, for about six weeks. But, you know, things have happened in life. But here we are now. And well, I praise God for that. So I'm going to kick it off with the Webster's Dictionary.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, let's do it. So just start in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. There's a slew of examples on grace in 1828. But it's the primary sense of gratis, something that's free, ready, quick, willing, prompt, from, advancing. And then number one, just as they had it in the Webster's Dictionary, it says favor, goodwill, kindness, disposition to oblige another as a grant made as an act of grace. Number two, it's appropriately the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from him.
Amen. And you know, we've all heard the acronym GRACE, you know, G-R-A-C-E, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense, which is a pretty, good definition of grace, but it's not the only definition. I mean, grace is so much more. And it's interesting because as I did this study, I learned a whole lot more about grace than I've ever known. I mean, I really didn't realize what grace actually encompassed, and it was pretty amazing. John 1:14 says, "And the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So this verse, it's talking about Jesus, and Jesus is described as full of grace and truth. And this is important because the origin of grace is Jesus. And this is why the songwriter John Newton called it Amazing Grace, because God's grace is truly amazing.
Amen.
According to the book of Titus, grace is two-part. God's grace redeems us and restores us. Okay, so let's take a look at Titus 2:11 through 12, which says this: "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age."
That means today.
Right. And so we're going to be talking about these two different aspects. Okay. We're going to focus a little bit more on the restoration, okay, of by God's grace. But before we jump into that, I just want to take a few moments and talk about the redemption part, okay, by God's grace. Amen. Because that was the first part of Titus 2:11. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." So that is the redemption right there. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So we're redeemed as a result of grace. This grace is truly, truly amazing. According to this verse, we're redeemed by Jesus. We are justified by his grace, which is a gift. Okay, so Sasa, I want to ask you a question here. And I know your love language is gifts.
I have a lot of them, but yeah. That's a big one.
So for all of you listening on the podcast, if you want to speak Sasso's love language, just randomly give him gifts.
April 12th.
It's coming up, brother. But brother, in your life, have you ever had somebody give you a gift and then hand you the receipt for the gift and require that you pay them for the gift?
Of course. No, absolutely not.
No, but because why?
It's
because
not a gift.
Then at that point, it would not a gift. Okay. So it's the same way with God. God chose to offer us salvation by means of a gift. Ephesians 2:4-5 says this: "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." How? "By grace you have been saved." It's this amazing, amazing grace.
And man, when I look at that verse, what's amazing to me is when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, and I always talk about this, the freedom that lasts. If Rebecca knew the scoundrel that I would be, she already knew part of it. But if she would know the many times I'd make her cry or the stupid things I would do, would she have married me? Absolutely not. And God, in our trespasses and sins, knowing all these things about us, still loved us with that amazing love, with by his grace, his favor towards us. Because, and that's the most powerful thing in the world, is we always think in terms of ourselves instead of saying it's based upon God, not on us. And that's why it's that he can love us with that. He can extend that amazing grace, because it's not you, it's him.
Right. Yeah, it's unmerited. I mean, we didn't deserve it. We don't deserve absolutely it. We not. Absolutely do not deserve Amen. It. So maybe you've heard of the five solas of the faith, okay? You know, grace, solo gratia, meaning that we are justified and saved through grace alone. It's the idea that we're saved not on the basis of our good works, just like we're talking about, or because of our good merit, or because we're worthy or something like that. According to this verse, we were dead. We were dead. We're dead in our trespasses. And you see, we're saved because God chose to save us. It's this idea of unmerited favor. And just like we said, it's a gift. You can't pay, you cannot pay God back for this gift. We would be indebted for eternity.
There's no price we could pay for
this. There's no price we could pay, 100%. So then a little bit later, in verse 8 of Ephesians, Paul writes this. So Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And that's the thing. If we were able to save ourselves, we'd be boasting about it. We'd be bragging for about sure. it. "Hey, bro, I did this. I saved myself. You know, I picked myself by my bootstraps, you know.
Picked myself all the way up."
That's right. You know, but that's the reality of it. Because of our pride and our sinful nature, we would boast about it. And this is what makes grace so amazing. So Romans 11:6 says this: "But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace."
Right.
And that's the thing. So circling back to Titus, grace redeems us, okay? But grace also restores us, okay? Amen. So my good buddy Chuck, he bought this 1964 Ford Galaxy. It's one of his, it was his dream car. And man, the thing's sweet. He took me for a cruise in it. But in all honesty, it needs work. I mean, it runs, it looks good. I mean, the body's clean. I mean, it's got some pretty straight lines on it. Needs paint, needs a little bit of love in the engine. But other than that, I mean, it runs. But it's this process of restoration. So he's going to take he's going to take that car and he's going to restore
virtually.
He's going to put some paint on it. Yeah. It's just like us. It's, you know, I know yesterday you told me you dealt with a little test, a little sanctification test, and that's just it. God's molding us and shaping us through his word, through his word. But the means by all of this is grace.
I mean, just what does grace look like? So how does God's grace, how does God's goodwill, how does God's favor? And going back to Romans 5:20-21, which I said in the beginning, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto mm-hmm. eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." I mean, I've heard this verse many times in my life. It wasn't the first time that I've heard this verse, but I've kind of breezed by it. I've kind of, even Freedom That Last Week, this is a verse you have to memorize.
Yeah.
But when Willie came and preached these verses, God really spoke to my heart and really blew my mind. I think we make a lot of excuses that we live in the environment we live in. We have internet. We have things that we used to have to do in the cover of night is in our TVs, is in our computers, in the internet, is accessible.
Yep.
You have marijuana sold freely where you don't have to have a hookup or dealer. You can just go buy it freely.
Oh, yeah.
It's no longer hidden. And we think, well, how can we live like God wants us to live? Mm-hmm. And this is where this verse is powerful. And I think even sin has entered into the church where we're compromising on beliefs because it doesn't fit into the world's narrative. Instead of the Bible always being where we should derive truth from, we're deriving truth from feelings.
Yeah.
And so how do we live? Sin is in this world, but it's also in my heart, in my life. Mm-hmm. And I need a remedy to combat these evils inside of me. And these verses really spoke to me. I almost look at this like the drain hole in a sink, where the water can only go so high, but it cannot surpass the point and continue to overfill, you know, the tub. And I remember at one of our old churches, there was a gentleman that was in charge of filling the baptism. And we didn't have one of those checks. And the pastor told him several times, like, he got annoyed by it. And he said, yeah, I know. I set my alarm for 2 hours. I'll be here and shut it off. And typically the pastor wanted somebody to stay there and just kind of do something else while watching it. So
monitor it. Yeah.
Well, he went to sleep. And the pastor showed up the next day and the water was still going and flooded out the whole church, messed it all up. And there was no stopping it. And many times that is a picture of us with sin in our life when we don't apply God's grace. It just overflows because there's no check on it. It gets crazy. It gets bad in our lives. Whatever sin issue we deal with in life, God's grace abounds more than that sin. So whatever addiction you struggle with, whatever shortcoming you struggle with, I'm not going to get into the details of what happened yesterday in my home. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But something happened that happened a couple of times in my life that I got a phone call and from my wife, and she told me some news. And I usually would blow up because it's it would make me upset that somebody made a mistake. Because I don't make mistakes, obviously. And it didn't. Like, I was surprised. And I was just like, okay, well, this is what you need to do. Here's the next steps. And she, when I got home, she told me, like, yeah, a couple of years ago, you would have, and not that I'm perfect, but it was just another test. And that's where God's grace abounded in my life at that moment, applied to that situation. Because it could be, I get told the same thing in 2 weeks and I could react totally different because I'm not dependent on God's grace. Amen. So God's grace is so powerful that we need it moment by moment in our lives.
Yep.
So whatever you deal with, God's grace abounds more in that area. I don't have to be enslaved to my sinful habits and ways, but I can accept that same grace that gave me salvation through Christ Jesus. Amen and amen on that. And that's shouting time for me, right? That same grace that saved me is the same grace that helps me in the sanctification process.
That's right.
So we have the grace, and I like this verse, Romans 6:1, because it comes right after these two verses talking about grace. So if I have God's grace and God will help me do right, should I continue in sin? Mm. And this is Romans 6:1. It says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the Bible says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, because God covered that, died for it, how should we live any longer therein? Ben, my parents, we lived in a 900 square foot home, if it was that, growing up, and that was with the addition. So we lived in a pretty small home. I didn't think about it as a little kid. We had one bathroom, one toilet, one sink. We have four sinks right now, and we fight over the sinks, which is crazy. Or the bathrooms are all occupied, and then we have three. So I don't know how we did it with the bathroom, but we figured it out. And so we live in a small house, and my parents, before we go to bed, we would, you know, good night, John Boy, whatever, kind of routine.
The Waltons.
Yeah, like the Waltons. That's what we were. And my parents would say, you know, my dad would say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid.
Amen.
And I'd say, I'm going to bed. Like, I don't want to say that. Like, I don't care. And he's like, I'll buy you a soda if you memorize that verse. You know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You know, so I memorized this verse, not knowing the power of it, that God doesn't want sin to abound in our lives because we have that grace. Grace may abound, but it's not an excuse or license to sin. When we do sin upon God's grace, we're presuming upon his grace that he's given us.
Right.
I think of room service on a ship. Have you ever been on a cruise before?
I've not. I'd like to.
Well, it's cool. We went to, we did a cheap one to Long Beach in Mexicali. That was nice. It's good one to get your feet wet.
Yeah.
But with the cruise ship, you don't realize that it's free room service. It's unlimited. So I could want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich like Elvis with fried banana at 1:30 in the morning and they'd come bring it to me. And that's how I think of grace, is just because you can order room service at any hour doesn't mean that you should, right? And that, God forbid, and that's the same thing I see in sin, is that although we can sin because we have a free will, God forbid that we do that.
So what you're saying is, this past week of spring break, just because I could order, you know, good food at the Italian restaurant,
pizza,
I shouldn't have probably.
Yeah, maybe when she offered the Asian salad, I should have said yes instead of the fish tacos.
Yeah, this Bible's deep, bro.
Yeah, pretty good.
It applies. It's applicable.
It's applicable in all areas. Amen.
So this all goes back to the enabling power of God's grace. So I want to circle back to Titus again. So if we go back to Titus 2:11 and 12, and I'm going to start at the beginning again. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Again, that's the redemption. And then the second part is the restoration. This part, training or teaching us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So these verses in Titus tell us that grace is the new teacher in town. Okay, because remember back in Galatians, we read about the law being our schoolmaster. Okay, Galatians 3:24. Therefore, the law was our tutor or teacher, schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Okay, but that was just the teacher that showed us our sin. It was kind of the way our sin was revealed, but it's this grace. That's the thing that's enabling us. It's God's grace. It's enabling us to live out this Christian life. So once you are saved, and again, this is applicable to people that are saved only, but once you are saved, Jesus is our teacher and he teaches us through his means of grace. So it's sort of like salvation. You know, we don't have the means nor the power to save ourselves. Therefore, we must place our faith in God for salvation. Right. However, the Christian walk is no different. we don't have the power nor the means to live godly lives. It's only by God's grace. Amen.
Yeah, just so on that point, Ben, to live by God's grace, and I think it's the same way where not by grace or righteousness we have done, but according to he saved us, not of works as any man should boast. I thought I mixed up verses there, but apologize. Not of works as any man should boast. That statement, when he applies to salvation, to me also applies to sanctification. Because as Christians, we get puffed up in God's grace, and we're trying to live a sanctified life. And sometimes we get puffed up and we say, well, I'm doing better than Ben. You know, Ben only reads 2 chapters. I read 7. And it's the same thing. It's by God's grace. It's not by anything we... Obviously, we don't have the power to change. And I remember my father-in-law, and just when he passed away and they talked about his legacy, and that was one thing they said, it wasn't him. It was God working through him. Yeah. And it's the same thing here. We get so puffed up, but it's only by God's grace. It's not because Ben's a good guy or Sasa's a good guy or you're a good guy. It's like God's grace. And the moment that we get puffed up, the moment we're not living in God's grace, and we need to start back at square one.
Amen. And Jesus is clear about this in the book of John as well. I mean, you read John 15:5, which says, I am the vine and you are the branches, and whoever abides in me and I in him, it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And in the book of 2 Peter, we read about God's grace enabling us to live godly lives. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 3. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So if God's grace enables and gives us everything we need to live out the Christian life, then this begs a question, which is what, Sasso?
Yeah, why do I still struggle with my sin nature and my besetting sins? Why am I offered a salad and I get fish tacos or I get pizza? Why do I still struggle with these things that I thought I was dead to and I had God's grace? Yeah. And that's, and Willie pointed this out in Romans 6, 16 through verse 20. The Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, sin unto sin, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. And we don't see victory in our spiritual lives because we simply do not yield to the sins our flesh. Yeah. We simply don't choose that salad. We simply make poor decisions, and the fat pants become tight pants in our lives.
Stretchy pants.
The stretchy pants become tight. We pursue our flesh rather than pursuing our God. We yield to our flesh. We say yes to our flesh. We say no to God.
Right.
And this has been said by many people, but someone has said, if you have two dogs that are comparable in every way, the dog you feed the most will win in the fight.
Yep.
And sadly, the flesh dog, that non-Asian salad dog, is the one we feed the most. Yeah. And we wonder why we cannot obtain victory in our Christian lives. We don't read our Bible. We're not praying. We're not even going to church. Pastor gave a challenge to people. Said it's good to watch online, but you need to be in the house of God. Amen, you need to be around other Christians.
100%.
And you're not doing these things, and you're not feeding yourself spiritually. Yeah. And you wonder why I don't have any victory. Well, because you're not yielding to the flesh. To the flesh. You're not yielding to God. Are you yielded to your flesh, or all you see is green lights when in essence they should all be red lights and stop signs? If you do not yield to your flesh, you will not see victory. If you don't stop feeding your flesh, you will not see victory. As much as you may want it to be a cheeseburger, it will never become an iceberg lettuce once you have placed it in your mouth. Just like that cauliflower, I don't care what that guy says, how good they are, how many they sold this weekend. It's not a chicken wing. Same thing here. You cannot make sin and justify it. Sin is sin. And if you yield to it, you'll not have victory.
100%, man. And you know what? I love your illustration of the dogs. Our brother, Carl Metzger, who's now in glory, he taught me the same exact thing. You must not feed the flesh dog. And that's the thing. We feed our flesh. We put ourselves in a position of sin. We tempt ourselves. And I'm going to cover a verse here in a second that explains it all. But But I love that illustration because it's so true. And I think it's so important to understand that the reason we aren't victorious over our sin is because we are the problem. We are our worst enemy. And James, in chapter 1, verses 13 to 15, says this. It says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." And I've heard a preacher, Steve Pettit, said this one time. He said, "We sin because we like it." And it's true. I think when Willie was here preaching, he was preaching on grace, and he said nobody, not even the devil, can make a Christian sin. Christians sin because we choose to sin.
Amen.
And that is so true. It boils down to our flesh, our desires. It boils down to the war that rages in your mind. And if you have your mind set on fleshly desires, those desires will conceive and you will give birth to sin, just like it says in James.
Yeah, and I remember there's a preacher named Larry Brown. People might know who he is. And I listened to a message from him. I think I was live there listening to him in the church, like a conference. And he said, "There's nobody in this world that gives me more problems, more issues, more drama than me." And we tend to get mad at other people or we don't like certain people. But in all honesty, the person that we don't like is ourselves, because we are our worst enemy. Because especially, we have all these truths. We know we have access to the Word of God in every language you can possibly think of. We have Strong's Dictionary, Greek, Hebrew. We can interpret all of that. But yet we choose to, you know, eat that pizza, or we don't eat the Asian salad. You know what I mean? Tacos. We feed our flesh. Tacos. We eat our tacos.
That's right.
Absolutely. Taco Tuesday today, by the way.
Hey, man, why are you tempting me?
I'm sorry. See, it's the flesh. It's the flesh. I apologize.
But and it's like we read in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds or besetting sins. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." And according to this verse, we destroy arguments and opinions set against God, basically any lie. And we take our thoughts captive. And when we get a thought that inclines us to sin, how do we battle? We battle just like Jesus did. And what did he do? He battled in prayer and with God's word. He
two-edged sword
to battle sin. And this is just exactly what Sasa was saying. We want to feed the flesh dog rather than getting in the word and praying about it. And we're feeding our flesh worldly lusts and things and desires of the world, and it's just leading us, just like this verse says, it leads us to death. The key to all of this is meditating on God's word, and that's the bottom line here. Our problem is we meditate on our fleshly desires, which eventually leads us into sin. And so what's the key? We must replace our earthly thoughts with thoughts of God and his word. Colossians 3:2, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died,"
amen,
"and your life is hidden with Christ in God."
I mean, just so in saying all that, and God's done these things for us in our meditation, so how can we be victorious in the Christian life? Mm-hmm. We talk about take the grace that's given you, as discussed in Romans 20:21, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's favor, God's help, God's provision for you in victory. And I look at Ephesians 2, 7 through 10, chapter 2, verses 7 through 10, "that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And I think of my son, my dad, my father, how I can't deny Nate if I wanted to. He's a better looking version of me, but that's totally fine. You know, thank you. You got better genes from Rebecca. And my dad, I look, you know, I can resemble my father. And that's the workmanship that God wants to create in us through Christ Jesus unto good works. He wants us to be. I think there's people in life that desire to see people fail. God's not one of those. He wants to see us. He wants to have that relationship with us where we are ambassadors of him and we look like him, because we are his workmanship, and he gives us that exceeding riches of his grace. And that's an awesome word, out of the exceeding riches. It's not Well, if I have enough today, I mean, it's there. It's his favor is there. It's exceeding rich. Matthew Henry, which I love to read part of my Bible reading, he states, what reason have sinners then to seek earnestly for that grace which will make them of children of wrath, children of God, and heirs of glory? God's eternal love, our good will toward his creatures, is the foundation whence all his mercies flow to us. And that love of God is great love, and that mercy is rich in mercy. And I think of this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And God's grace is not an exclusive club. It's not for the Abundant Life podcast listeners or Ben and I. It's for everybody. There's no secret club. And all you have to do is to experience the God love is to accept that free gift that he gives you salvation. Then also his grace continues even after salvation through sanctification.
Amen. And God is rich in mercy and grace. However, according to James 4:6-7, which says this, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. In other words, you will never have victory over your sin unless you surrender to God. This verse tells us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And it all starts by submitting yourself to God by means of humility. And we have a wonderful podcast episode on that topic of of humility and surrender, which I would highly recommend checking out if you have not done so. Amen. But again, this is easier said than done, right? I mean, even the Apostle Paul, I mean, he dealt with the conflict of him doing what he should do and not doing what he should do. And again, it's the war against our flesh, which is a constant battle. I mean, I remember, in my previous job, I'd go to work and I worked with a bunch of guys and they were cool guys, and most of them were not Christian. And so, you'd had the jokes and you had all the stuff, going on, and there were days where I would literally come home and I felt like I was boxing all day, like spiritually boxing all day. I was mentally drained, and it's a war that happens in your mind, but it's exhausting, and it's real and it's there. But the only way you can battle this is you've got to be in God's word. You've got to meditate on God's word, and you've got to be in prayer, because it's so easy to fall. Yeah, it's so true. Easy to be led astray. And it happens quick. Two of our greatest motivators for becoming victorious by means of grace are also found in Titus 2. I keep coming back to this verse, these verses. I love these verses.
It's good.
In Titus, and I'm going to start in verse 11 again. I'm going to start at the beginning. I'm going to go through 14 this time. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. And here's your two motivators right here. First one, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here's the second one, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify himself, a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. So the first one we see here is that we're waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He may come at any point. I mean, it could be in the next 5 minutes, the next year, and this hope, this isn't some pie in the sky hope, I hope we get some more rain around here. I mean, here in Phoenix, rain is basically a miracle. So I kind of hope it rains. No, hope in the Bible is a confident assurance in things that will happen. Jesus is coming back. Okay. And it may not be in my lifetime, but if I live my life like he may come in the next 5 minutes or the next month or the next year or next 10 years, my life will look much different than a life without hope. And if you want to see what it looks like without hope, just flip on the 5 o'clock news tonight. Just look at the news, watch the news, and you're going to see a world without hope.
And Ben, just recently, since we recorded our last podcast, there's been several people, three people in my life that have passed away. One being my cousin at 49 wow. years old, which is young. Another one, he went to my dad's church. His name was Leo. He always liked my boots. And he was, I should know this, 64, something like that. And then, Bob that came to Freedom that lasted a couple mm-hmm. times, yeah. 59. And sometimes we don't get to that, but that there's still that blessed hope. And for what I know, these three people were both believers in Jesus Christ. And now that hope has become real to them.
Amen.
It's become right there. They're experiencing that hope. They're living that hope today as we speak. And that's us too. If God doesn't come in our lifetime, that hope is still there for us. It's just we get formaldehyde in the veins, in the body, instead of being, you know, resurrected. And I pray that. And that's the, you know, when I went to Pensacola, there's a mural from the beginning to the end. And in the end, it has a picture of Jesus says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus."
Amen. Yeah.
And I, that's why I sleep to the east, as I said before, because I'm waiting for him to come get me from the east side of the room there.
Amen. That blessed day when that faith becomes sight, man, that's going to be awesome.
Amen.
So the other motivation that we see here in Titus is that Jesus gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness to make us his possession. Man, this is grace right here. He gave himself for me, a vile, filthy sinner, not because I'm worthy or because I'm something good or there's something good in me, but because God is loving and merciful and full of grace, and he saved me. And it says I'm his possession, which is amazing. It's amazing. Amen. That he would save me. I mean, there's nothing good about me, bro. I mean, there's nothing in me worth saving, but he chose to love and have mercy and save me.
Praise God. And Ben, we look at this world being uninhabitable because of sin and things like that. And how can we live to be what God would have us to be? Well, there was somebody that lived in a pretty wicked place so bad that God destroyed the earth. And you think we live in a bad, I imagine in Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah beget three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Does that sound like the world that we see today on the 5 o'clock news?
It does. And I think even further down, didn't it say something about that God looked upon men and our thoughts were continually evil?
Yep.
Continually evil. I mean, that's just, if you really think about it, man, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, That's what we would constantly be thinking of vile things we could, how we could get ahead, or how I could make a better position at work by who can I step on, what can I do, what can I get out of you, you know what I mean? And that's the way we think. But because of the Spirit in us, I mean, we have this grace.
And we're in that Romans 1 society today, you know, as Pastor talked about, this is what we've become. And you look at people that are sinful and do sinful things, and you sometimes say, oh, I can't believe they're doing that. But that's what they're supposed to do, because they don't have the hope. They don't have that's the grace right. that yeah. God has given us as Christians. And you look at Noah, he did not find favor in the eyes of the people of his day. Like, he wasn't the popular guy, but he did find favor with the one that mattered, amen, with Almighty God. In our society today, we even get closer to the line of the sand where we cannot be comfortable in our Christianity. And it may cost us something. It may come at a cost for us to do what's right.
Yep.
As even churches are compromising on beliefs. Mm-hmm. And my question to you would be, are you willing to pay the price to find favor with God? Are you too concerned what your neighbor may think of you, what your friends at work that don't even know you're saved may think of you? Are you praying for God's grace? Hebrews 4:15-16, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Amen.
Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And grace is something we should pray for. We have, God tells us, we have a high priest that we don't have the curtain anymore. We have that free access. Amen. But he's without sin, that says, hey, you want mercy, you want grace in time. Is today a time of need, Christian? I mean, ask yourself, is today a time, 2021, where we stand as a country? Is it a time of need? Well, it is. So are you praying for God to help you? Guilty of that as well. Are you coming boldly asking for his help, or are you good? Are you okay? How's that working out for you when you know you don't know what you're doing? And then I remember I took a drafting class when I got kicked out of a Christian school, sent me to public school. And so I only had to take three classes, but my mom felt like she paid taxes all these years, so she wanted to maximize the money. So she made me go to 6 hours of six classes. And then I took like three electives, and I took Woods drafting and computer skills. And the drafting class, I was like a week late because I kicked out of school. and they had already started the semester. And so my teacher gave me these things to draw that were fairly easy for someone that could draw, for someone like myself, not very, I'm not, you know, it's in my mind, but I can't produce it. And I had been on that for like 2 weeks already. And my teacher's like, what is taking you so long? I said, I don't know. I'm just a terrible drawer. He said, well, why are you drawing it? I said, because you told me to. And he said, there's a template in your desk of your, the drawer in your desk that you're supposed to use. It already have these shapes. You're just supposed to outline them. It's not like, why is that hard? I talked about that the first week of class. I said, it's hard because I wasn't here the first week of class. And he got mad at me. I got mad at him, whatever. Right. And there's time where we need God's help. We try to do it on our own and we fail. We need God's grace. Matthew Henry says, besides our daily dependence upon God for present supplies, there are seasons for which we should provide in our prayers times of temptation, either by adversity, and that stuff. When we face adversity, we can get that phone call, or prosperity when things are going well as we perceive them to be. And especially when we get close, especially our dying time, we are to come with reverence and godly fear, yet not as if dragged to the seat of justice, but as kindly invited to the mercy seat where grace reigns. Mm. We have boldness to enter into the holiest only by the blood of Jesus. Amen. He is our advocate and has purchased all our souls want or can desire. Close quote there, Matthew Henry. God's grace is sufficient for you even when it seems like it's not. Look at the Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Let my strength, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
And I think, you know, that's not easy to do. I mean, he's taking pleasure in the infirmities and the reproaches. I mean, if you think back to when Paul and Silas, they got arrested, they got thrown in jail. And the guards beat them and whatever, and they were chained, and they were singing hymns in the middle of the night. And
they were singing psalms, or
they weren't. And it's like, it's not even that they were, because I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm thankful in my circumstances, but not thankful for them. But they were thankful for them because they if you read a little bit in those verses, it says that they took pleasure in suffering for Christ. And it's like, man, that's a hard place to be. I don't know that I'm not at that point where I can be thankful for my circumstances or my trials. I mean, I can be thankful in them, I think, but I don't know. It's hard to be thankful for them because sometimes there's some hard trials that you face, but he's thankful for them.
And that's what's crazy. I think always been of when I played soccer and they used to run these wind sprints and I hated them. Absolutely hate it, especially when it got cold and your lungs would burn and be on fire.
Yeah.
But when I got into the game, I was thankful for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's how I look at the trials sometimes, is I'm not thankful in them like I should be, but something comes in my life that I got a call yesterday and I'm thankful that there was a time where I've experienced that and failed, and God, you know, by his grace, helped me learn from that.
Yeah.
But Paul is a different level Christian.
Yeah. He was thankful to suffer for Christ, and it's like, man,
it was like, sir, can I have another attitude in trials? But his heart was pure before God.
Yeah.
And then what a testimony that is to the world when us Christians act like that, when we can sing and praise God, even when we should be, we're crying through the to the rain, you know, and we're just the sun shining through the rain. And I don't know, that's just another level of God's grace.
Amen.
And God does not always say yes to what we ask him. Paul wanted him to take away this thorn in the flesh, and God didn't allow it. And that's not always a bad thing, or even bad things in our life that we ask to be taken away. I mean, I had a boss that I prayed every day, like, God, take this boss out of my life. And as Ben and I were talking today, sometimes God brings into our life people that are like us to show us who we truly are. Yeah. And I think there's a Kate, I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but Kate videotaped me yelling at the kids about my iPad and where's my case on the iPad. And I was super upset. And I looked at that and I'm like, wow, is that really me? And then I started to see the way I talked to my kids. And that's what I hated, the way my boss talked to me. But I was doing the same thing to my kids. Mm. And God doesn't allow things to be taken away. And you look at the Christians in Paul's day, the Roman government, when God, you know, when Jesus came, they thought, oh, the Messiah is going to take us from that. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was to redeem his people, to send forth his son. And then even in our trials, it's to sanctify us. That Romans 8:29, I want to say where, you know, all things work together, but it's to the edifying, it's to the shaping of who we should be in Christ Jesus. Grace is always a sign of God's goodwill towards us, and it is sufficient in all things and for all things. We would not go to him if we felt capable of being successful within ourselves. If we thought we had it or we thought we were good, we would never come to him. True victory is only found in Christ Jesus, and only through his grace are we truly strong.
Amen.
And so in closing, Ben, my final thoughts here, and then I'll kick it over to you, is will you allow grace to abound in you? Will you come boldly before him and ask for his grace, and will you take it when he gives it to you? Are you sinning and presuming upon his grace? God forbid.
Amen. And I think a takeaway for me is, you know, just kind of the way it says in James, you know, God resist the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I think that's a place where we need to be. I think if we were at that point where we were just truly humble and coming before God, seeking his will, meditating upon his word, I mean, we would be walking in the spirit 24/7. And I know the reality is that we tend to feed that flesh dog. And unfortunately, we don't get there. But the grace that's there, it's in 1 John 1:9. You know, it says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And again, then we can have that restoration again. And then we come back into fellowship with the Lord, and we can begin going up on the trail again before we fall off again or fall off the wagon, like with our diets. You know, we keep falling off with the wagon.
Chicken wings.
So, this has been a blessing to study. I'm very thankful to God for his grace in my life,
Amen.
For not just saving me, but for growing me. And I do pray that the Lord would continue to grow me. I have a lot of growing to do. And so we're looking forward to our next episode. If you've not subscribed to the podcast, I would say please subscribe. And the only reason we ask you to subscribe is so that you're notified when a new episode drops.
And it's free.
And it's free. There's nothing to it. Yeah. And so you can visit us at abundantlife.fm. We're located on Twitter and on Instagram. We don't post a whole lot. We could probably do a lot better at posting. And
we're a photographer in here. We need to bring Lainey back so you can take pictures of us.
That's right.
Just blur out my face.
Maybe we get her to be our social media manager.
Maybe. Need help, Lainey.
But anyhow, I don't know. Are we gonna divulge our next topic?
I think we should. I think it's good topic.
Okay, so I'll let you introduce that real quick, and then we'll wrap up.
So kind of going back to Willie, he brought us a conference, and part of that conference was God. He gave us a booklet, and we would like to borrow of his. It's Bible verses. Is God's hope and help for change? And you do in Freedom That Last, that ministry. I've learned truly in my own personal life, Freedom That Last. Because it's God's hope and help for change. I can give you all these rituals to do and things to just stop doing that, but it's God's hope and help for change that truly changes us and can make an impact in your life like you can never imagine. And I'm excited about the next topic. Hopefully it won't be another month. We look to get back on track here with back on the podcast wagon per se, but yeah, just God's hope and help for change, which I'm excited about for next topic.
Amen. Well, thanks. Thank you all for listening. And we look forward to the next episode of the Abundant Life Podcast. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.